We're halfway through. And the first part, we've been talking about a lot of wounds that impact men. And the second half, we're going to have a number of different guys speaking, but we're going to try to unpack a little bit what this manhood really looks like. We talked about some of the wounds that affect us, that impact us. And then the second half, we're going to be talking about what actually makes up an authentic man. And so you can invite your friends. You can, those of you with sons that are old enough, you could bring your sons. Be great. Turn in this in your manual to page 92. And throughout this journey that we're on, we've been talking about this manhood plan. In the first part, the first section, it says a look back. So looking back portion, there's three parts to this manhood plan. And as you've gone through, I'd really encourage you guys to take some time, half hour, hour, and go through these questions. How we unpack our wounds as men determines a lot of how we're going to be as men. And I really encourage you guys to work this plan. One of the things that when I was doing this a year ago, I was got to this part. And the first question there, what personal strength do I presently have due to positive experiences and good people in my past? This is on page 92. And it was interesting for me to think back through my past and think about all the guys that have impacted me in a positive way. And I remember one of the first places I worked as a mechanic, greasy old guy that I worked for, smoked like a chimney. But he knew a lot about mechanics, and he was willing to teach me and take time. And I remember one time he was trying to teach me how to put a vehicle on a lift. And I had some ideas about how to do this. And the one time, he had told me a couple times I wasn't supposed to do this certain thing. It was a pickup truck, and I had put the back arms, I had flipped them up and put it on the leaf spring. And I had this truck about halfway up, and he came up and looked at this thing. And if it could have touched it with your finger, it would have fell. And he had told me a couple times not to do that. And he let me know that if he had to, when that truck fell and I was squashed underneath it, what he would do to me to keep me from yelling. He said he'd hit me over the head to keep me quiet. And I learned some things. So what kind of people in your past impact you? And how can these strengths and assets aid me in my journey to authentic manhood? I think about where I grew up and some of the men that affected my life and growing up as an MK. And then the next question, what unfinished business undercuts my journey to manhood? Take some time and look through that. One of the wounds for me when I was going through this a year ago, and I hadn't processed a lot of this, was the mother wound. And that was one of the wounds that I wrote down that I hadn't addressed very well. And it specifically asks you some questions. What keeps me from addressing these wounds? Whose help do I need? I started looking, thinking, who do I need to help me get through some of these wounds? And how am I going to practically address the wounds affecting me? One of the ways that I wrote was I was going to read some books. I'm going to read some books about the whole impact of a mother on a son. And how will I know when I'm finished? Take some time and think through that. And then, number C, what past mistakes do I still need to deal with fully? And I remember when I was looking at that, there was a past church experience that I had had, and I had to think through that. Did I really take care of the pieces that were mine? And unpack some of those questions. And then question D, what questions from my past still need to be answered? And who can help me? And have I made an appointment to seek their help? whether it's financial, whether it needs to be something spiritual. Make some decisions. And then it says, take all the above information, write it into specific action steps, goals that are specific and measurable. And what I did is took all these points that I had wrote down, and I looked at them and I wrote it into paragraphs or point form. And there's some examples there. I will talk to my dad about a relationship and ask him face to face whether he loves me or not, whether he's proud of me or not. I'll do this by September 1st. So put some dates on it. If we don't make a plan, if we don't set some goals, it's probably not going to happen. This morning, so take some time to do that in the next number of days and weeks. This morning, I want to continue the topic that we've been on. We've been talking about the heart wound as men and how our depravity, there's something core about each one of us as men that needs healed. And I'm going to talk about some of that this morning. I grew up, I want to tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were in mission work. And I heard about God. I went to church, was involved actually in ministry with my parents. My dad was a preacher. He would go around, speak places. We would sing. So I knew what was expected. And 9, 10, 11 years old, I was kind of a good guy. And I knew how to be good. I knew what was expected. One of the things that I observed as a boy growing up was the impact of when God got a hold of a life. And I remember walking from my house over to the Bible camp where my dad ran the Bible camp. And I was walking across the field and I saw smoke coming up from the field from a bonfire of a man. His name was Dean, and he was burning all his rock music, his Satan commitment to Satan stuff, and they'd started a bonfire, and he was throwing all his stuff in there. And his life was dramatically changed from that direction to that direction. And another man I think of, my dad had led to the Lord, and I remember one Sunday afternoon getting in the station wagon and driving to town and stopping at this guy's place. He had been an alcoholic, drank his life into nothing, and went into his apartment, and my dad and my brothers and I started carrying out boxes of records, of rock, country music, and loaded up the back of the station wagon and went to the dump. Town dump, but I remember taking these records out of their cases and we'd throw them out into the dump like a frisbee. And that man's life was changed. And it was so dramatic for as a boy to see what kind of guy this was over on this side. And when he made a decision to follow God and give his heart to the Lord, and the dramatic change that happened. And he later married a Christian lady, and they had raised their family for the Lord. And I remember another man who had been a friend of my dad's for many years, and I was talking to him one time, and I knew he had at one point followed God, but at this point he wasn't. And I asked him, you know, where things are with God and you. And I still remember the thing he said to me. He said, you know, Vernon, you know, I watched a lot of Christians, and I know that what it takes as a believer, that I need to give everything. And he said, you know, Vernon, I'm not ready to do that yet. And what impacted me so much was this man had probably a better grasp on faith and living for the Lord than I did. Because he knew before he decided that it was going to cost him everything and he needed to give everything. And so when I, as I was growing up, I was observing all this stuff as a man or as a boy. And there was a time in my life where I decided, I think it was my sister's baptism impacted my life a lot. I remember watching her, she's 4 years older than me, I remember sitting there and watching her commit her life to the Lord. And I decided at that point that that's what I wanted to do. And so I didn't know lots, but I knew I was lost. I knew by what I was reading in the Bible, by what I'd been taught in Scripture, that I needed a heart change. I needed something to change in the direction that I was on. I had a limited understanding of faith at 11, 12 years old, but I knew that I wanted to follow God with my whole heart. I didn't have much faith, but what I had, I put in Jesus Christ and what he came to accomplish, to take away or to deal with the heart wound that each one of us men have. And, you know, growing up in a Christian home, excuse me, you may not have seen a lot of change on the outside, but on the inside, something profound, the direction of my life was impacted. And I believed that I was a sinner. I was depraved, separated from God. And my commitment to doing wrong is core. It was core. And it still is core sometimes. And I knew I was separated from God. And I accepted and believed that Jesus came to take the penalty for my wrong. And I made a life-changing decision to follow Christ and give him my life. And that's what all of us need to do as men. If we want to be authentic men, if we want to deal with the heart wound that each one of us has as men. And I know lots of us here grew up in the church. Lots of us here, you know, when we hear a story a lot of times over and over, it kind of becomes old hat. And we don't get impacted by the power of it. And there was a guy, actually I want to read something else here, by J.I. Packer. Regeneration is the inner recreating of fallen human nature by the gracious action of God's Holy Spirit. Regeneration in Christ changes a person's natural disposition from lawless, godless self, that heart wound that we have, seeking, which dominates a depraved man, into one of trust, love, repentance, and loving compliance with God's law henceforth. Basically saying, the good news for this is Jesus Christ. And God's impact in our lives changes the bent that we have towards depravity, towards truth. There's a couple verses. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. And I, when I was thinking about that, the hateful, I think sometimes as men we've hated ourselves. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And that's from Titus. I want to look at I was talking about the impact of what happens when a life is dramatically changed in the men that I saw. I want to look at a guy in Scripture that was a religious ruler, a religious man. Old Saint Nick. Not Santa Claus, but Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, kind of the setting of this whole thing is, when Jesus came on the scene in Palestine, there was a religious order of the Pharisees, there was a religious order of the Sadducees, and some other groups. And Nicodemus, I believe, was it says he was a Pharisee. So probably what they did, they were kind of being impacted by this man, Jesus, being in the area. And as a group, the Pharisees decided, we're going to send a guy to talk to Jesus and find out, you know, what is he up to? And who is he? And what's he about? So they picked Nick and they sent him. I'm just going to read some of the verses here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, they came to him in the dark. You can see that. Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, and basically that means like for sure, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to just stop there. Back in that day, it's my understanding that born again kind of sounds a little odd to us. We don't use that language unless you're in the Christian believing circles. But back in that time, it wasn't an odd phrase. Nicodemus would have understood what Jesus was talking about. And they used this term when they were referring to, it was a Jewish term, talking about God's covenant with his people. So as an 8-year-old boy, a Jewish boy would be circumcised. They would call that born again into the covenant. When a boy would come to the point of becoming a man, the bar mitzvah, that would be another phase of born again. And marriage was another one. And actually, in that time, there was about 8 different born-again experiences that a man could go through. And the top of that was when a guy was about 40 years old, he would get to the point where he would be confirmed as a rabbi. And that was top hook. That was the top of the line. And you couldn't, there was no born-agains beyond that. And so when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus and telling him, you must be born again, Nicodemus was a rabbi already. And he's going, what do you mean? I mean, there's no more past this. I'm it. So he's asking some questions here. How can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So everyone who is born of the Spirit, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? Here was a man who had thought he had arrived. And now Jesus was saying to him, you need one more thing. And that must have smarted a bit. And sometimes as men growing up in places of faith, and we get used to the songs, we get used to the words, we get used to the message, and we don't get impacted by the truth. And that's where Nicodemus was. And Jesus had to call him back to the reality of what he needed. And he needed salvation in him. You know, we can grow up in our Christian homes. We can do the the church thing, to be baptized and all the good stuff. Be a good person. But the experience that really counts, that impacts a man's heart wound, is relationship with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I asked, like to do an interview, and I asked Aaron if I could ask him some questions. So come on up here, Aaron. This is kind of impromptu. We didn't script this or anything. We know a little bit. He knows a little bit what I'm going to ask him. I'm just kind of looking out here. I think Aaron's probably, between Aaron and Dave, I'm not sure. One of you guys are probably about the oldest here. And why don't we start out, Aaron? Tell me a little bit how you came to faith. What affected you?
Well, I grew up in an Amish home. About the time I was a teenager, my parents left the Amish and went to Summit View. So I had, at that point, I had Amish friends. I was already living in rebellion, a lot of anger from growing up. My parents, my dad was he tried to be a good dad. He was an absent type of father, and he didn't really connect with me. But anyhow, I grew up and I rebelled against even the good that they did teach me. And about the age of 19, I was at a revival meeting. And that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. In my years growing up, I did hear the salvation message. I went to my uncle's place and went to summer Bible school. So I knew it was an open rebellion to God I was living. And so at that point, I came to God, and he changed my heart. There was a big tree there in the church. Even the outside of the world changed for me at that point. Yeah. It impacted my life to the point where I changed friends. My whole world changed at that point.
Mm. What did people notice? What do you think people saw that was different?
Well, it didn't change all at once. Hmm. But like I said, I changed friends. I went back to my old friends that I used to drink with and told them that I made a decision to change. And so they just kind of turned their backs on me. And I found out they weren't really true friends. Hmm. And started going to Bible studies and friends that encouraged me. Soon after that, we went to Arkansas to Winter Bible School, and that was a really life-changing experience for me. And so some of the things that people noticed, seen a big change in our, I was dating at the time. That changed. We addressed the petting issue and Well, one of the things where I worked, I know the children at the table. I worked on a farm and I'd go there all week. And that morning after I came to Christ, one of the two-year-old children at the table, they said, "Aaron, what are you laughing about?" Hmm. Wow. So there was a joy in my heart.
And how old were you when that happened?
I was 19 or 20.
So how many years ago?
Whew. I am 59 now.
Okay, so 40?
For about 40 years ago.
40 years ago. Tell us a little bit, Aaron, what that 40-year journey has been like. And just maybe looking at a few scenes in those 40 years and bringing us up to now and what God's been doing recently.
That's a big order, brother.
Okay.
Well, some of the highlights would have been after we came back from Bible school, we had gained a lot of convictions. As young people, we decided to change churches. One of the things that impacted us was I got a conviction to ask my wife's parents if we could get married. Mm. And her father was opposed. So we put it off for 3 years.
Wow.
That was a big impact in my life. And we did get married, and a year after we were married, we volunteered in a church outreach.
Okay.
In upstate New York. We lived on a farm there for 7 years.
Okay. And how many children do you have?
8 children.
Okay. And have a son-in-law here, right? Yeah.
So that was a big change in our lives. We lived there for 7 years and reached out to the community. I guess a bad thing in my life that happened was I made some wrong decisions. I had a real sense, even after becoming a Christian, I had a real sense of lostness and incompleteness. Mm. And I understand that now as being part of the father boon that I had.
Mm. Can you say a little bit about that?
That caused kind of like a trying to prove that I'm not that bad of a person. I always was trying to reach out for belonging, you know, to belong. And as a teenager, I had come across some pornography. Mm. And I think that there was a root there. I yielded to some of that to try to fill the void. It wasn't continuous, just off and on. Mm. But later on, then I yielded and became more addicted to it. Mm. And it caused really struggles. So I ended up treating my children pretty much like my dad treated me. I never really connected because I was kind of like in my own struggles. Mm. And I'm now separated from my wife. We're working things out. Looks like we'll be back together again. But it's a lot of pain. Mm.
So what I'm hearing, God made, you brought your heart into the Lord, and it brought some change, but there was still depravity that was very real in your life.
Yeah, my old nature didn't get eradicated. It was, and there was some struggles there that I didn't understand myself. I didn't understand myself. True.
Can you share a little bit what's been happening recently?
Well, the thing of being understanding more fully of really what caused some of those struggles, as I've been going through the workbook here and seeing the Father Wound, I could relate to every one of those. I mean, the anger and the sense of lostness and incompleteness. Even though I had given my heart to God, there was a root of that. Something was still, that wound had not really been addressed. And so when I looked at that in my life, and well, my parents both have passed away in the last 2 years. And so then I wrote a letter to my dad expressing how the wound had affected me. And actually went up to the grave and talked to my dad and shared my heart there. It really impacted me at that point, because as I went there and gave that to God, it's a little bit like an onion. The wound happened in layers. And as I went there, and I may have to unpack more, but as I went there, there was a connecting with, I could see more in a real way that God really does care about my struggles, and He loves me, and that's something I've struggled with through my whole life, to really understand that God is there in the hard times. And I think that's directly connected with that my dad wasn't there for me emotionally, and so I had a hard time understanding that God really cares. And when I was there at the gravesite, I could feel Jesus just wrapping His arms around me, and that He cared about what I've missed. And now it opened up the sense of, where am I going now? What am I going to do with this wound, and how am I going to let God heal it? I've been reaching out to other men. I've got friendships, and I see that I need to do that more. I guess what I'm trying to say, Vernon, is that when I brought that wound there and opened it up and looked at it, somehow God reached down and started touching my heart in those areas, and I could see more clearly what I need to do in the future. How important it is for me to have maybe some older men in my life, and to give me some instruction, to accountability.
Even though you're 59.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that does overwhelm me some, but it also...
It's good to hear, actually.
Another thing that really came to me was, I need to live in the moment. Because God has given me this moment, and friends are that way. He's given me this gift. He's given me this gift at this time, and friends come and go. And He's given me this space, separate from my wife, and I wouldn't want to go through that again.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to part with what God has been teaching me. And so it's living in that moment and letting God use it in my life. And that's what I want to do with the wound and the pain. I want to let God teach me what I've missed, but then I want to fill that void with good relationships and using it to connect with my children, with my boys. And that has been happening, but I see that it needs to happen more.
All right. It's so good to hear, Aaron. I think at 59 years old, and I've been your friend for a number of years, and at 59 years old, I think what encourages me, Aaron, is how you continue to be open to God working in your life and your example for us. Even though you haven't been perfect, none of us are. But anything you want to leave us with as we wrap up this part?
Well, like I said, is live for the moment. Let God use each day to give you something to live for, and don't live in the pain in the past. And that's not always easy. But find some friends. I like to have young friends and old friends, and keeps me younger. I love to go out with Tim and on the ski slope. I love to go biking with my sons. So, live for the moment. Do what's right.
And I also hear you saying, invest in people, relationship.
That's the other thing that impacted me up at the grave, was how can I keep this, what God is giving me, alive? And I just seen a vision of God wanting me to reach out and help maybe some other man that's alone, that's struggling, and walk beside him.
All right.
So find somebody to walk beside.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Aaron, for your honesty here. I think it really calls us to something. There's a couple things that impact me when I hear you. You had brought your heart wound to the Lord, but there was a process that God of healing and regeneration that God had you on. And this whole thing of Nicodemus coming to Jesus and Aaron coming to the Lord, and he was saying he lived his life in rebellion. And there was something that changed. There was something that God did in his heart and life that even a two-year-old child at the table noticed that something was different about this guy. It's a supernatural rebirth born of the Spirit. As many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. One of the things that happens inside our spirits as men, when we allow Jesus, invite him to come and touch our lives, it changes the bent, our focus. It changes the direction. And we still deal with ourselves. We still deal with our brokenness. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's no other way. You must experience, have an experience with the Lord Jesus. There's no way around it, no substitute. You know, doing good, we can do Bible studies, we can even do missions and miss Jesus. and it's personal. You. Jesus said, you must be born again. And each one of us needs to be born again. You need to decide. We need to decide. I needed to decide at 11, 12 years old. I needed to make a decision. I couldn't ride on my parents' faith. I had to have my own. And you know what? This time of the year, Christmas, is in 10 days. And sometimes you see this sign, you know, Jesus is the reason for this season. And I think we got that wrong sometimes. The actual truth is, you're the reason for the season. Because Jesus came because of you. Unto us, a child is given. Today in the city of David has been born for you, a Savior. Jesus didn't come for, ultimately for himself, but for you. So, have you given yourself to Jesus? Can you point to a moment where you've said, you know, I've given him everything. Give God his place and invite him in to begin reconstruction in your heart. And I'd like to just pray. And while I'm praying, if there's a lot of us here are believers, if there's a recommitment you'd like to make to the Lord this morning, to his regeneration on the inside, if you never have committed yourself to the Lord, you can do it while I'm praying. Let's just pray. And then I'd like to ask James to come and lead a song, and then we'll turn it back to her. Let's pray. Lord, as men, we're fallen. And we're in need of you. Our brokenness is real. Just like, and we don't have to look very far to see it. We don't have to look even beyond ourselves. So Lord, we bring our brokenness to you again today. And we're asking Holy Spirit that you would deal with the heart wound that's core to our nature. And without you and apart from you, we really can't do anything to change that. So Lord, we're bringing ourselves to you. And as men, we recommit ourselves. As men, we commit, not just recommit ourselves, but we commit ourselves to living in the shadow of the cross, what you've done, how you've paid the penalty for our sin. And Lord, we're asking that you would take the rightful place in our lives, in our souls. And God, as we go to our groups today, and as men, sometimes we don't talk too much about our faith. I just pray for an openness today to talk about where we are with you. And I ask that you would draw us, Lord, to you in a way, because as men made in your image, the only authenticity that we really have is in a relationship with you. And so we ask, God, that you would do your work in our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.